Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Tom Freshly screams Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, Envy, this is the ESE Podcast, your double dose this week of your weekly AEW review and a breakdown. Back at it again with the lovely, the man, the myth, the legend, the fucking gobbledygook himself, the fucking, the genius behind, the 2-15 run that the Colts are about to go on himself. How's it going, Charlie?
Pretty damn solid. I got some fucking sweet tea here, and it's not sweetened with sugar, Duke. I've started sweetening it with honey. Interesting. It kind of works, actually. Pretty good.
I feel like we need a sponsorship, although I think a lot of those websites like Honey are kind of bullshit, so I don't know.
but we'll see. I gotta tell you, it changes the flavor dynamic enough to where I'm like, damn, this is pretty good. Can't go too hard, though, on the tea. That caffeine will fucking catch up on you. But
Yeah, that's fucking true. I can tell
it's
that.
It's a double dose.
Experience.
I mean, I feel like we were just talking wrestling 24 hours ago, it feels like, but here we are.
I mean, we basically were. I mean, we had a day in between, but we also recorded like 7 podcasts in between there, it feels like. So, like, you know, we've been busy this week. We had Gen V premiere. We had the 6th episode of Peacemaker. No, the 5th episode. Was it the 5th? Yeah, the 5th yep. episode of Peacemaker. I know what day it is.
And all
I
we're swear. Doing is scheming on a scuba. Scheming on a scuba.
Anyway, so yeah, 100%.
How about yourself there, fella?
It's been a fucking hell, a week of hell at work. I won't even lie to everybody. It's been fucked. I haven't streamed like at all this week. It's just been bad. Look, it didn't go well.
The end is nigh.
It's one more night of absolute depravity, and then I'll be home for the weekend.
One way out.
So, you know, I'm honestly not even fucking awake. I've been getting up earlier this week, too, because I knew I was going to need, like, I don't know why I do that when I know I'm going to be going in and it's going to be a way harder night. I end up getting up earlier. It makes no fucking sense. You'd think I'd sleep in more, but no.
It's called brain gotta poop.
I don't know. I just have to be mentally prepared, I guess, when I walk in or something. But yeah, so my week's not been going spectacular, but there's been some good television and there's definitely been some good wrestling this week, so... we'll break all that stuff down for you, as well as at the end of this here episode, we will have our predictions for AEW All Out, which, when this comes out, by the time y'all listen to it, it'll probably be tomorrow. So, I mean, like, it'll be literally like fucking 12 hours or something, like, you know,
yeah. Good list in the morning of, if you want.
Yeah, and I do recommend that because this is it. And also, there will not be an episode next week. This is the next week episode. We're just doing it this week because the way the schedule works out, plus what's happening next week, plus everything else, it's just not going to work out for us to have this out on Tuesday, probably, I'm guessing. So
it'd be all outdated. That's the thing about
true.
Our shows is if we record them Tuesday after the pay-per-view, because we did that a couple times when we were like still working on the format.
We do predictions regardless. So
but
that
it always
goes on
felt
Fridays.
Like outdated because we're like, well, we know what Adam Cole goes on to do at the pay-per-view. So it's like, well. But, you know, if AEW wants to do this where they want to fully load the show on Wednesday, we'll
yeah, if we just
that.
Delete collisions and make it a 3-hour show before every pay-per-view, I'm so down because we can absolutely get a review out for that.
We'll respect
you know what I mean?
That and get our show out on Fridays. It's that easy.
Yep. So I just literally locked in this week, and as soon as I got home from work on Wednesday, I just threw on – I think I had to watch the last episode of Gen V technically. But, I mean, other than that, because we had to record that the next day or whatever. But other than that, I just would have thrown it straight on when I got home because it was 3 hours. But, I mean, it just – I had to watch an hour of a show or something, you know, so it was what it was. But, you know, other than that, though, I just immediately, as soon as I got home, I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just watch it because I know I need to. And I know I kind of wanted to anyway. This card looks pretty good. So, you know,
That did.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess with that being said, we'll toss it over to you, buddy, for our favorites, because we are be doing favorites this week, so you don't want to have to, like, get double favorites the next pod. We'll actually have just single favorites next time, and we'll be, like, a 30-minute segment to open up the next episode that we do, which is fine. You know, when we do that, we do that, but this is a case where we don't have to. So, buddy, what were you really feeling off of AEW September to Remember? Let it known.
So, on HBO, they did split it up into Dynamite and Collision, right? But the Dynamite version of the September to Remember, so I mean really the first 2 hours and 10 minutes, fucking kicked ass. And not going to waste any time here. We're jumping straight into this Dynamite match of Queen Aminata versus Tekla. They've been fucking against each other in a singles match one time, but they've wrestled. This is their 11th match against each other since June 11th, just to give you an idea. So they've been really going at it, but we jump into their match where it's a no-holds-barred match.
Little plunderoo gabagoo there, bud.
Absolutely, and I got to tell you, I feel very, very satisfied, and it's like a relief feeling, too, because we've been propping up these two for the past 3 months, being like, yeah, this is one of those feuds where no titles on the line, no nothing like that. They just fucking hate each other. And here you go. We're going to do the November to Remember homage match with you two. And I think they delivered. They delivered in the ECW-esque, you know, no holds barred. Trash cans were afoot. They were brawling out in the audience. By the way, how nice was it to be back in an arena? Love Tony Khan. Love all the fucking, you know, let's do these things at this ECW arena, yada, yada. Duke, it felt so nice to be back in a fucking actual arena.
Yeah,
and just, you could feel it in the way they shot it, all of it. It just felt, you could feel the fucking more space in the room. You could feel the energy difference, too. Like, I appreciated the stay, but was it nice to be back. Look, I think Tekla is looking really strong in this build-up to go for the title. I thought Queen Aminata, she brought all of the aspects of her game that we love. We got just a tiny bit of the technical stuff in this, but this wasn't that kind of match she was going for. She was showing off more of her striking ability and her brawling ability. But, like, she hit this twisting fisherman's buster that was really clean, and then she goes for that leg drop. I gotta tell you now, man, I kind of like flinch up a little bit when we see people go for leg drops after hearing about the Matt Hardy story and stuff like that. And Aminata went for it off the second rope. So I'm always like, you know, but she missed on that. Tekla hit the curb stomp onto the chair for the win. And Aminata like kind of did a really like they did like a 3.5 kind of kick out, if you know what I mean. It was a shorter match. But again, I just thought it brought the energy that we were looking for in this show. And I just, it's my favorite thing. It's the best way to put it. This is the thing that put the smile on my face the most, Duke. Before we touch on the little bit that happened after, what'd you think of the match? And I mean, is this the culmination of their feud, or are we going to see them kind of duking it out still a little more?
This might be one of those ones where like we just kind of like, we assume Max and fucking, assuming they don't get put back as a tag team, that they're going to do that dance forever. Max and Jack, you know what I mean? Max and Swerve, Max and everybody, really. Max and the whole roster, if you really think about it. But, you know, when I mean Max, I mean Maxwell, not Max Caster, you know what I mean? I think people know when I switched to Max's there that when I started talking about the other opponents, they're like, what the fuck, Max Caster never fought that guy? It's like, yeah, I know. I meant the other Max. But, you know, eternal rivals thing, right? Like, you assume that they're never going to not hate each other. But then, like, you know, wrestling is wrestling, so that could always change. But I hope that they're not done. Like, it feels like this is one of those ones you mine for the rest of the year, and then, like, you come back to it a year from now, like, with Swerve and Hangman and stuff like that. You know when you need to bring it back, and you know when you can tease this from now on. I mean, what I wrote in my notes for this was, and I hope this isn't, like, sexist, I wrote hard hits and hot chicks. That's literally the first thought that ran through my mind. You know what I mean? Like, and that's pretty much what this match was. Oh, I think one of my favorite fucking silly ass little spots in this was Tekla had a trash can lid at one point and hit herself in the head with it because she's fucking crazy, you know?
That's great. Yep.
And I think this has lived up to like every bit of what it's like. It's what we thought it would in our heads when these two started kind of like going at each other. So I guess if it was going to be the ending, I suppose I can't really complain this is a good place to end it at, but I really would prefer if these two, I mean, I don't want them to be stuck with each other, but I also don't want them to like forget that this is how good this is, you know, like, because as good as it has been, I don't know that they've really gotten that much deep into what this is actually about. It's just been two people like China don't like each other fighting. You know, they could go further with that as we do with some stories in AEW. So,
yeah, they presented it as, you know, Queen just wasn't fucking with the new spider and the new spider wanted to show herself off. So it kind of created this cool dynamic that, you know, worked out the way it did. So,
and she ultimately pulls out the win here, but at what cost, Charlie? That's kind of like the whole story here, right? Like she beats her, but she barely beats her, and she really probably, I mean, she took a lot of damage in the match, especially toward the end. I mean, I started looking like Rick Flag Sr. Against fucking Peacemaker at the end there, bro. It was crazy, you know, like fucking hitting her with the knees, you know, fucking nuts. But yeah, no, and yeah, I mean, and there was obviously the stuff that took place afterward, which I'll let you get to since this is your segment, but. Yeah, we actually also heard Tekla speak for the first time here, which I thought was, well, I don't know if it was the first time, let me be clear. One of the first times we've heard Tekla speak.
Yeah.
And I really liked how fucking nutso she sounded. It was pretty great. So, you know, other than that,
it definitely fits the bill of the character that we've grown to become, you know, comfortable with. So, yeah, post-match, she takes the mic, tells Toni Storm, look no further. Her end is right here. Toni hits the ring, starts punching. People are throwing fisticuffs. Jamie Hayter runs out onto the apron. Statlander shows up, sweeps the legs. Sweep the leg! They brawl ringside. Wheeler Yuta and Marina come out. Statlander screaming at Yuta that she doesn't need his help. Shafir shoving Yuta away. Triangle of Madness are all in the ring at this point. Julia and Sky Blue are attacking. Storm's fighting them off. Grabs a chair. They're all bailing. Jamie Hayter appeared behind Toni. Was about to take a free shot, but pulled up. Toni got right in Hayter's face. They had to be separated by refs while Tekla was held up by Hart and Sky Blue on the ramp. Statlander leaves through the crowd.
Death Rider Taco Noi.
Yeah. What'd you have for your favorite this week, Esquire?
Yes. I don't know what shows is technically listed on. I'm assuming
Dynamite.
Also. Dynamite. Okay, so everything is just Dynamite this week. Okay, well, fair. You know,
Jet Speed Non is what they listed as Collision.
That wait. Well, in my notes, this is beyond that match, so I think they're capping. his Jet Speed and On is like. Where did I... Did I just not mark it in my notes? No, I definitely did. What? Oh, really? So it's like what? What is that? Two
matches?
It's
just three... Yeah, it's just like the last 45 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
2 hour show. Anyway, you know, whatever. Somebody fucking fumbled the bag there. They should have marked it a little bit earlier in the show, but hey, you know, whatever, I guess. This is why I was confused about where the markation was, because I looked at my notes last night after I talked to you about that, and I was like, wait, where is it? Apparently it was literally like the last hour. That's it? Okay, whatever, you know.
Basically a Rampage.
Sure, which, I mean, fuck it. I mean, it's suddenly an extra hour on top of the other show anyway. They didn't have the full 2 hours, but I guess I didn't think they were going to do that. In my head, I thought it'd be 1.5 hours each, you know, but maybe they just didn't think that was necessary. Whatever. I guess maybe it just depends on what's more on the pay-per-view, right? Because it's not like when Raw and SmackDown were separate and they'd both feed into the same pay-per-views or whatever, but it, like, it's kind of like that a little bit to an extent, because there are some people that are just pretty much on Collision for the most part, so I guess that checks out. But yeah, we'll go with what I was actually going to talk about here, which is Mascara Dorada versus Beast Mortos for an opportunity in for the last spot in the triple threat for the Unified Championship, I should say. And yeah. Basically, these are your two Lucha guys, you know, your non-AEW, like they don't wrestle in AEW regularly. I mean, Mortos does, but Mortos hasn't really been featured recently. And obviously, Dorada is primarily CMLL, you know what I mean? So, at least, unless he's here, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and it's like power and speed with athleticism, except for the one part of that, except Charlie, that Mortos is a glitch. So it's kind of like speed and athleticism versus speed and athleticism, you know, like, with a little bit of power mixed in there, you know, like, there was a rope rebound pile driver that I don't remember who hit it, but my God, did it look insane. It got fucking Danielson going absolutely insane, you know, like, this was a hard-hitting, flip-flopping, skibble-bop fucketry is what I put in my notes. Because it was
Skibble Bop fuckery.
Fuck a tree, sir. Anyway, but yeah, and I mean,
you fuck a tree.
Hey, only if it asks. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Dorada pulling out the win here in this like little barn, looks like a little mini barn burner. I thought was pretty sick. I like seeing Dorada get featured more. I do worry that he only gets into these spots because he's not featured anywhere else. You know, like, because it doesn't really ever feel like, oh, they're gonna do something with Dorada. They just like toss him in as like the third guy in like a 4-person match, and it's like, okay, or I guess in this case a 3-person match. You know, but like I don't know. I guess it's kind of the same for a lot of these guys that aren't on every day or every day, every week, you know? So I don't know. Do you think, I mean, this is like just the third spot, right? Neither of these guys would have won if they were in the match realistically. Right. I mean, if we're being honest, right?
I mean, it's
this is
hard.
A Takeshita Okada yeah. match with a third guy in it, basically.
Like, so know? That's more or less what it feels like. Yeah.
Is this basically the excuse so that they can run a Takeshita versus Okada solo later? Is this basically why this
Probably.
Is? So that, you know, so they don't have to say, okay, we can't do that again. I look fine, but, like, why not just wait then, right? Like, and just give Okada, like, a bullshit opponent, you know? Like, Okada versus Mariscal or Dorada or Okada versus Beast Mortos would be fine, you know? I don't see why that would be an issue. Like, that could be his match for this month. Maybe Okada just didn't want to do that since it wasn't built up to, you know? I don't know. Well, you know, I'm starting to ask the question in my own head, Charlie, is there some bullshit going on with Okada in AEW? Because it seems like there is sometimes, you know, like.
I think it's just simply Tony Khan wants this to be a living legend.
I get it. But like, it also feels like sometimes that
it
gets
sometimes
in the
just
way,
makes it clunky.
You know?
You
yeah,
know?
A little bit. Which...
It's the thing we always talked about. How do you possibly book Okada in AEW? And, you know, that his answer has been, well, we're going to give him the title every day he's here, except for the first 2 weeks. So, yeah.
I mean, we're going to do predictions, but I mean, do you even in your head remotely for a second think there's remotely a chance Takeshita wins it here? Probably
no.
Not, like.
Not at all.
Yeah, I would agree. So, yeah, fair. All right. Yeah, I mean, after the match, Takeshita and Okada both appeared, and Dorada went to do a double, take them both out with the, you know, like, I guess we'll call it a plancha, but like the dive to the outside or whatever from the ring. And... interestingly, Takeshita was able to duck out of the way. I'm not sure if Don pulled him out of the way or something, but Takeshita didn't get hit. Okada did, so...
Yeah, Okada Takeshita. Got fucking waxed.
Yeah. Okada got taken the fuck out, and so it was just Takeshita staring down Dorada at the end, so that was pretty cool. Takeshita got to look a little like, hey, look at me, I'm fucking cool over here. I missed fucking getting hit. Look at me, I'm badass. You know. So, shout out to Takeshita. What'd you think of this match? What'd you think of this segment? I already asked you what you think of the... You know, so, but I mean, well, you know, before we move on here, what did you think?
Yeah. You know, Mascara Dorada, love seeing him on AEW television. I think he's always a pleasant surprise. This will be a nice addition to the pay-per-view. Beast Mortos, as always, looks awesome. He's just good lucha things, you know? I mean, it's just...
Attorney at war.
Yeah, these guys know how to go out there and put on a fun match for the crowd, you know? So they're moving so fast. The pace is just unbelievable. You know, you can blink and you'll miss fucking what happens. I mean, they're moving that past that pace. So, yeah, no, they got like that standing ovation kind of vibe, and I think they earned it. And it was just a really enjoyable match between two guys who, you know, it's fun and easy to root for. Mascara Dorada's unreal for how young he is. I mean, he is just absolutely unreal. So. You know, if that tagline that, like, Lucha Blog and all those people set up for him as the future ace of CMLL, it's easy to see why. I mean, the guy's got, he's insane. He's 23 years old. So, I mean, that is unbelievable talent. And getting featured on American television like this, plus at the pay-per-view in Canada, that's fucking awesome. And this show was from Canada, too. So,
oh, yeah. Canada.
Whoa, all in all, good stuff. We got a little bit of news here. Nothing too crazy because only so much can happen in a couple days, right? But
right, all in all, wrestling, the entire landscape can change. So,
yeah, Will Ospreay on the road to recovery after having successful neck surgery. So that's why he took his time off.
Under, over, thicker neck for Will when he comes back.
thick neck Will. Over. Come on.
He's gonna be thick neck. He's gonna be moving his shoulders. Come on, guys. I can move.
He's gonna be half clanker. He's gonna be half titanium rods in his throat.
Shit. In the throat.
Will Ospreay.
Goat himself.
Good stuff. Out of Willard. AEW women's wrestler no longer on the roster.
Oh no.
It comes down to wonder if I have a date last time she worked. She hasn't been seen on AEW TV since February 2024. That is Kiera Hogan. So
yeah, this one's felt like it's been coming for a little while.
Yeah. She was last seen on Ring of Honor April 2024. So yeah, she just hasn't been used. She suffered a shoulder injury during that last Ring of Honor appearance. I remember us covering that, and she just never returned. So, yeah, she's doing some stuff here. So,
honestly,
she's a part of a reality show.
This could be a Fed sweep up one, right? You know what I mean? Like, it because she was good enough, you know, and NXT 2.0 or whatever it is now could use maybe someone like that probably. Their women's division over there is pretty, yeah, you know, decent.
Kiera Hogan, match I looked to the most was Athena and Ring of Honor. I mean, that shit was awesome.
Dude, that was the best she was the entire time she was there. Her and Red Velvet both had their best singles feuds against Athena, I think, you know?
She killed it.
Diamante, that group of three, that's like the three, if you had to identify three off the top of your head right there, that should be more important than they are, but they just aren't for some reason, despite their work, you know, those three, and they all had great feuds against Athena, you know what I mean? So, you know,
I think Kiera's done with wrestling. So she said pretty much, so she's on this reality show, on the Zeus Network called, Joseline's Cabaret California, which will include a touring component. She hasn't wrestled anywhere since April 2024, and during her intro on the show, she said that wrestling was a stepping stone for her, which caught her some heat on social media. She acknowledged the comment and said wrestling was her first love, but I'm multi-talented and unapologetically ambitious. I knew from the jump that the wrestling would open doors for me in fashion, TV, and beyond, just like it has for so many others before me. So, yeah, again, good for you, Kiera.
Some wrestling fans are going to really get offended by that, but you can't then also be a fan of what John Cena and Batista are also doing with The Rock. Just throwing that out there. If you feel that way, you'd be like, well, I can feel however I want. But if you want to be consistent, you can't have both opinions. You can't be like, well, what John Cena and The Rock and Batista are doing is so great, but what Kiera Hogan's trying to do with her career is not. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but you're just an asshole for it, you know, like.
Yeah, so, you know, good for her. Let her do her thing. Let's who knows? Maybe she can become the next fucking reality superstar, you know, who knows? So,
or
good for
maybe
her.
Not, and maybe she'll be
reality
in the Fed
TV
in 2 years,
is,
you know?
All I mean, these people from Love Island this past season are legit like A-list celebrities right now. So, I mean, hey,
reality TV
market
is big enough,
is still there.
Look, I'll put it to you like this: there is The Miz, obviously, he's the biggest example you can think of, but then we had the guy from Jersey Shore on AEW for a little bit, you know what I mean? So, like,
yeah,
you know, like, you can make reality. There's like a,
yeah, I mean,
weirdly, there's a connection between the two businesses. Why? I have no fucking clue. But reality TV and wrestling have to be seemingly interconnected somehow. Because,
well, I mean, if you want to, you can even look at Total Divas, right? Look at the Cody
Rhodes.
Yeah,
I guess they
kind
of put their foot in that area, right? So those people probably look back
and
say, hey, maybe that's an opportunity for us.
Bianca Belair had a reality show like that on Hulu. So, like, this happens all the time.
I mean, there's Roads to the Top. There's the Young Bucks or the AEW. What was it? All Access? Was that the thing they did for a couple months there where it was like everything was behind the scenes or whatever? And like the Young Bucks were censored out for some reason. But yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, so like there's always been an element of reality TV in wrestling. I think even in
and
the
these
story.
These people are definitely getting paid. So good for her. Go get the bag.
Get the money, you know, and
bucket.
You know what? She entertained us for the time that she was on our screens. Maybe she didn't get the opportunity she deserved, and that's fair. You know, so this is what happens, you know. Hey, this won't be the last. I mean, not necessarily reality TV, but it leaves for greener pastures because AEW doesn't have a spot for everybody. It sucks, but it's the reality, you know, like.
Yeah. And then kind of the last thing we'll mention today. So Keith Lee has been gone from wrestling for a long time.
Basically, most of the time we've been covering this. He won the tag titles with Swerve. They lost them, and then he's been gone pretty much ever since, right? Like, so, other than like one or two appearances.
It's been nearly 2 years since he last wrestled. An undisclosed injury forced him to be pulled from World's End in 2023. And Lee said he needed to undergo double surgeries. And he noted a couple months ago that his health has been good for, quote, quite some time. This week, he was responding to a fan on social media, thanking them for their support. And he said, when talking about an in-ring return, it will certainly happen for him, but he doesn't know how or when that will be. He tweeted to a fan. He said, "You honor me. I appreciate you for that. All my gratitude. I'd like to take this moment to remind you that you also are boundless. Additionally, I'll take a moment to reassure you that a return to the ring will certainly happen, though I won't post it how or when. Much love." So, again, all the information we've had on Keith Lee since this all went down has all been speculative, right? So it's hard to see what that means. But again, what that rumor
and it was long
was,
COVID too, right? Yeah, that was what got him, right?
That was the rumor, was long-term COVID. And it seriously affected him when it came to, you know, obviously that would affect your heart. So,
not to be an asshole, but Keith Lee, he's not in bad shape. Don't get twisted. Not at all. But he's a big guy. Big guys in general, I will use a little bit of an un-PC term, but I'll just use the term so people know what I mean, exactly what I'm saying. Like, I'm not talking about like a fat guy who doesn't have energy. That's not what I'm talking about. It takes a lot of fucking power to move a body the size of Keith Lee's with as much muscle mass as he has. You know what I mean? So that guy probably has to eat like 8 steaks a day to be able to even fucking walk around. You know what I mean? So like, you know, like, and I'm not being an asshole. Have you guys ever been to a gym and seen those kind of yoked dudes just walking around? They don't move with fucking speed because they can't, you know, like if they did, they'd be gassed because even if they do cardio, it takes a lot of fucking calories to move a body that's got 200 pounds of muscle on it. You know, like,
yeah,
I mean, no one has 200 pounds of muscle, but you get what I'm saying? Like, you know, like 100 or whatever the fuck it would be. I don't even know. I mean, if you're like 300 pounds and you're like walking around, weight for your height would be like 2-something. Yeah, you probably do have like almost 100 pounds of muscle on you, right? Like,
Keith Lee's just a heavyweight. That's the best way to put it. He's not some small guy. He's a fucking legit heavyweight.
No, and I just wanted to be clear that I'm not saying, because he's not. He's really not. You look at fucking Bubba Ray Dudley at his prime, and he fucking was way worse ever than fucking Keith Lee has ever been at any point in his career. You know, like, so, like, and even that being said, everybody will always go back to Bam Bam Bigelow and say, it doesn't fucking matter. If you can move in the ring, it really doesn't, you know, like, and, you know, not everyone is Samoa Joe, you know, like, yeah. It's, you know, but at the same time, I bet Joe doesn't move around at fucking high speeds like that very easily either without getting gassed, you know, it's all reality. Like, it's not just your physical shape. Bryan Danielson can run 20 minutes in a row in the ring because he's fucking 5'0", you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, it doesn't take as much energy to move his body, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to be real here, like, that would fuck you up as a big guy. It would not matter if it was just small lung problems that you got from it. You are fucked. You can't breathe. You can't move. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. Like, you would be the slowest fucking most in, like, it would be Keith Lee at his worst if we were to see that ever when he was recovering, you know? So like, I'm so glad that he never tried to do that. I'm so glad that at least seems like the AEW doctors actually give a shit about the wrestlers, you know, and they'll let them do stupid shit, but they also will do their best to get them to not, you know? And it seems like a lot of the younger people like Keith Lee tend to be more conscious about that. But I want to see them back, man. We could do so much cool stuff with them, especially now that Swerve's been a world champion. I mean, we don't have to run that tag team back, but I just want to know what he thinks of that, you know? Like, there are so many things, so many feuds we never got to have. I hope he's back soon. I didn't mean to make this into a super long topic, but it's been one I've been thinking about for a while. I think about Keith Lee every now and then, man. I'm like, fuck, man, there's so many cool things we could have done with this guy, you know? Like,
yeah, absolutely. So
I think about how cool it would have been to have him when the meat revolution happened, you know, like, oh, we could still do that. You think that's what they're waiting on for the meat madness finally is for Keith Lee to be back?
Would be cool. But yeah, that's it for news. So we'll take a quick 30-second break here, and then we will be right back.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
All right, out of the break, I want to talk about an idea that just popped into my head, okay? Instead of 1 year, instead of doing blood and guts, we do a plunder match, but it's all meatness, and that's the meat madness, is we just do fucking blood and guts, but with all meat men.
I'm so down.
Yeah, here we go.
Get Ishii in the match just because.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll be the smallest guy in the match, but it'll be funny, you know?
Hell yeah.
He'll still be a meat man, you know? So, you know?
He'll just be
the drumstick.
Well, I guess that being said, Duke, take it away for the beginning of September to remember.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. We opened it up our show with AEW World Championship contract signing between Mr. Adam Page and Mr. Kenneth Fletcher, the fellas, if you will. And yeah, so this is really good, honestly. I really enjoyed this. Don Callis opened this up. He's like, I have something to say before we get the shit kicked off, because I'm Don Callis. My head looks like a penis. So, so he said that the reason why Kyle Fletcher, he has so much confidence in him, is because back when Hangman was first beating Kenny Omega for the title, basically, he thought he had the solution to beat him then, but he didn't. And so he's been working ever since he lost the title with Kenny. That's why he turned on Kenny. Basically, Don tied everything he's done as a character into this one little fucking segment here, which I thought was kind of brilliant. And I got to give Don credit for that. He basically said, everything that I did after I turned on Kenny, the reason why I did that was fully motivated by the fact that Hangman beat him. And I was trying to find someone that was good enough to beat him. Well, I found it in Kyle Fletcher. I just love that. I loved like what he did with that. And I love the idea that I know he's been thinking about saying this for a while. He just needed the right situation, you know, with Kyle being in a world title feud. So that's just, I mean, that's just a really cool thing that he said, I thought. Let's see. Yeah, basically Hangman said the same thing he said last week. He sees the future in Kyle Fletcher. He sees a guy that can hold the company on his back and be the world champion and be the example for people to follow and so on and so forth. And he also says that if you look in this little contract here, buddy, it says if you lose, or sorry, if you try to cheat in this match to win the world title, you're going to lose the TNT championship, buddy. So this just doubling down on the idea that Hangman's not an idiot. He is actually smart. He knows what he's doing. All the stuff he did in the last couple of feuds was to prove a point. It may be a cop-out, but it is what it is. You know, like this is when he's actually starting to use his intelligence to his advantage. He's putting him in a bad position because he wanted this title shot so badly, right? So Kyle hits this fucking line right after this where he's like, you think that scares me, Hangman? If I had to crawl through a mile of shattered glass to get this opportunity, I would do it. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? A mile of shattered glass?
That's so fucking metal.
Kyle's too fucking good, man. Yeah, he says he's better than Hangman, who originally challenged for the world title. Now, I don't know how I was supposed to take that. Does he mean when Hangman originally challenged the first time and lost? Or when Hangman originally challenged Kenny, I would think it would have to be when he lost, right? Because otherwise, what would he be saying? Because he beat Kenny the other time, so.
Yeah.
I guess he'd be saying he's better than the guy that beat Kenny. But I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter, but my brain couldn't quite understand exactly what he meant. I'm sure he meant one or the other. You know, I don't think he meant something completely different. Yeah, which I don't know. But he also says that AEW belongs to him now. And I got to say, Charlie, I think this is one of the, you know, better contract signings, maybe this year. I don't know about all time in AEW, but certainly in a long time in AEW that we've had. I really like this. What did you think of this segment? I really enjoyed Hangman and Kyle Fletcher here getting a little bit of one more opportunity to talk some shit to each other before the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, they really locked into this feud. This is really good. I thought Kyle came across as just a really, really contender. Like he came off as an actual contender. And that's like honestly one of the best things you could say about this, right? Because Kyle's so young too. yet he looked like he belonged in this spot. And you believe the words he said. He's gotten so comfortable, man. I mean, oh my God, can you believe how comfortable Kyle looks? This guy was not a singles wrestler. Now, it's hard to picture him as the tag guy.
You know, I don't ever see him anymore. Mark Davis ever tagging together again, which is insane. You know, like,
what a credit
it'd be really crazy.
Just awesome stuff here. Yeah, it was fucking phenomenal contract signing.
100%. Yeah, I really like that. We cut to the segment of video, the video segment. Darby Allin and Jon Moxley are speaking prior to the coffin match. There was some metal sounding music in the background. And they were making death threats, Charlie. They're going to kill each other. Murder. All right. Jon Moxley took on Roderick Strong. I got to give credit. Before this match kicked off, I have to give fucking credit to Bryan Danielson here. Because we said he was going to be brilliant on commentary, Charlie. And boy, were we fucking right. At the beginning of this match, he says, guys, I think I've fully given up on Wheeler Yuta. I haven't given up on Daniel Garcia yet, but I think I've given up on Wheeler Yuta.
He knows.
And fucking Taz and fucking Excalibur are just like, what do you mean by that? And he's like, I've given up as Wheeler as the future of professional wrestling. And it just kind of fucking silenced the room for a minute. You know what I mean? They didn't really know what to say. Because what Brian just did, I'm sure this was intended by Tony Khan. I would be really shocked. I don't think Brian's the type to go out there and just make a story, right? But even if he did, shout out Brian because it's a brilliant idea, you know? So, but I do think this was planned. They're setting up for what we talked about. The idea that Daniel's going to jump in and immediately everyone's going to be, oh my God, Daniel, he's the chosen one, blah, blah, blah. All the same stuff they used to say about Yuta. And that shit's going to eat away at Yuta slowly, man. He's lost the respect of Brian. He's going to lose the respect of John eventually, you know? And boy, you know what's going to be the one that hits the hardest? When fucking Claudio finally drops Wheeler, because they've been fucking, like, you know, finger around finger from fucking jump. You know what I mean? So, like, it's, and I said that because I was doing that gesture with my hands, but I realized everyone couldn't see me. So, you know, but anyway, yeah. Like, so first of all, Charlie, what do you think about that? And second of all, I mean, the match was really good. Obviously, Roderick Strong is Roderick Strong. He looked really good here, but obviously Mox was ultimately going to win here. They grabbed the foot, you know, and he got cheated on, but. Before I toss it to you, I want to know what you think about this, too. The little Roderick Marina stuff. That was fucking funny, right? Like,
yeah, she couldn't stop smiling, man.
It's
awesome.
Her husband. Come on.
Yeah,
you know,
no, like, it's, and I think everyone knows that, you know, it's not like a secret. Like, they don't.
No, it's just not acknowledged in the canon of AEW.
Exactly.
It's kind of funny, you know, like.
But look, I think that should add fuel to Wheeler Yuta's fire. I mean, I want to hear him talk about this. I want to hear Wheeler Yuta respond to this.
Yeah, 100%. Next Dynamite, we 100% need to have Lexi or somebody like that be like, Wheeler, did you hear the comments that Brian made last week? Like, we need to have that happen.
Like,
if we don't do that, then we're fucking, what are we doing? You know,
or
like,
even if he's being a henchman and mid-match, and he kind of just goes up and runs up on Danielson during the commentary segment.
Yeah, and he's just like kind of talking to him like, hey, what the fuck was that about? He's like, nah, I feel, you know? He'll say that to us, and we'll hear him on commentary, but hear Wheeler's half, you know what I mean? So that could really work, honestly.
Yeah.
So that'd be really fun. Yeah.
And, you know, you could do something along the lines of, just because you're sitting in that chair doesn't mean I can't, you know, put you down, old man. Like, you could easily play this up to, Wheeler should not be silent about this, I think, is the bare minimum, right? Someone should mention it to him, even if, because again, some wrestlers watch tape. And that's in their character, that's in canon, that they watch tape. Dax Harwood, how many times do we hear him say, I saw y'all's match last week? You know what I mean? Like, he watches the tape. So, yeah, I there's no reason for Wheeler Yuta to not address this. Fun match. Roddy getting his slappery Magoo in was a good time. And, a good
Mox's reaction to his chest being completely meat afterward was just like, he was just like,
USOB, USOB.
I've never been hit that hard before by chops.
So good. But yeah, that was a good time.
You know, Roddy was just sitting over there cracking up when he heard him doing that. Like, God damn it, John. Oh yeah, it was really good stuff. Yeah, we had an epic video package of Maxwell Jacob Friedman versus Mark Briscoe stuff. This looks really good. And dude, I gotta tell you, they're doing the thing I thought about, which is they're leaning into the fucking class struggle here. That's the entire story. It was literally what was being narrated here was this is the class struggle that everybody goes through when you mess with a man. You don't know what you're fucking doing until it gets to you, you know? And yeah, I really liked that. And then we cut to backstage last week where MJF went into Tony Khan's trailer and tried to demand that he gets out of the match because he owes him for, I forget what he specifically said. Oh, because of the contract thing, because he screwed him out of using his contract or whatever. But Tony Khan showed some backbone and said, you know what, buddy? You're lucky I don't fucking make things worse for you. You're going to be in the match, fucker. And he's like, ah, fuck you. Yeah, I actually respect you for telling me no for once, but fuck off. It was the wrong time. And he left. So, you know. Basically. I kind of dug that, though, that MJF respected that he told him no, you know? Because he would. I genuinely believe that MJF would respect a boss for being like, fuck you, dude. You're not walking all over me. Because MJF would absolutely walk all over you if you let him. But if you don't let him, I mean, he doesn't really have a choice but to respect it. You're his boss, you know? So I like that. You had any thoughts on that, Charlie, about any of the stuff with Mark Briscoe and MJF on this? I thought they did a pretty good job with it. I mean, you know, it wasn't like going to have like a brawl on this episode. So, yeah. You know, doing this, I think, made sense, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice touch. You know, it's using Tony in one way or the other, right? It's always interesting to see what they're going to do with that. But yeah, I thought it was fine. If we're not going to have them beating the crap out of each other, right? I thought this was fine.
Oh, MJF did hit a pretty metal line on this as he's walking out, though. He says, fine, but when do you have another dead Briscoe on your hands?
Yeah,
it'll be on you.
Yeah, no,
I was just like, oh, shit. Okay, MJF. All right. You know? And I could just picture in my mind, Tony Khan's face went from angry to a smile when he said that as he was walking out. You know what I mean?
He's like, damn it.
Like, yeah, duh, buddy. We're getting a match. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. Because I do think at the core of every wrestling booker, there is a little bit of a sadistic fuck to them, you know, like because they want to see these guys that hate each other just fight sometimes, you know, even though they know it could cause, you know, I mean, think of all the, you know, injuries that, yes, they're not supposed to be doing that, but they get caused because they let it go too far. Right. So there's a little bit of crazy in all the bookers, right. In canon, right. Because they let the shit go off. Right. So, but, you know, so I just picture that little sly smile as he turned his back as he's walking away. He's like, I got him. You know what I mean? Like fucking matches get a slap now, you know, but. Anyway, speaking of matches that did indeed slap, Bobby Lashley, the 14th, Bobby Lashley took on Toa Leona in a good old-fashioned meat mash, Charlie. And
Battle of the Behemoths.
Oh, yeah, a little behemoth thing. Oh, yeah. They really got the crowd going, honestly. And yeah. I think the AEW crowd really just loves big men. I think AEW might genuinely have switched the narrative. They might be the land of the giants now, dude. We might actually have kind of co-opted that at this point because... Yeah, they exist in the Fed, but they don't get these kinds of reactions, dude. Like, it's kind of insane, you know? Like, the meat men in AEW matter. Like,
do you think that could inhibit perhaps a Braun Strowman type thing?
Well, you
maybe,
think
maybe if it's just a one off?
Oh, like, do you think they're going to bring him in? Like,
I just wonder because we talk about
land
of the big
man. Oh, I see what you're saying. Because he's not really that style of big man. Like, you think maybe that prevents him from coming in eventually?
No,
maybe?
I'm just saying in general because he's not going to be a full-time wrestler anymore. But I do wonder if Braun Strowman is someone they
would
consider bringing
right?
in for a match.
Called if he came here. I mean, look, he could fill that role. I don't think we could. I think there are ways you could use him that you wouldn't need him to be like the other meat men that are out there every other week or whatever. But maybe you could. I mean, look, I would not have guessed that Bobby Lashley was going to be this good on AEW television. You know what I mean? Like, I would have thought, I mean, not that this was the greatest match ever. This did have some slow bits that were kind of like very Bobby Lashley-ish, but you know, but he's never had really bad matches that I can ever think of. They're just kind of like mid, you know, like it was like above that in my opinion, at least. So, but like, I think, I don't know. It really would depend on how they're going to use him because if he's just going to be on every couple of, like, he's not on every show, he's not on every pay-per-view, then, I mean, it doesn't really matter how you use him at that point. I mean, we saw that with Hook. I mean, Hook was over no matter what, unless they just didn't use him for months, and then they just put him back on TV for a few weeks, and he's right back there. So, you know, like, you could pull something like, not necessarily Hook, because very different character, but, like, you could do something. I don't know that I want him, though. He's good, but I don't know if I want, I don't know if he fits with the other meat guys, you know, in AEW. They just kind of do a different thing, you know, so I don't know, but...
Because he kind of just, he was the starter, if you will, that ignited this new era of big man.
Yeah, no, I think,
so
but I
wonder, I mean, he's just chilling right now. I mean, look, he said he's done wrestling full time, but Again, does that just mean he's going to show up in a Royal Rumbles here and there? Maybe.
Could be, but, yeah.
You know.
That's a good spot for a big guy, Royal Rumble, dude. Honestly, like, you could literally make your bones off that every year, you know? I mean,
there was week after week where we would be covering our show with Brady in 2017, where we're talking about on Raw. Like, this guy's segments are the best thing every week. And it just, it's so weird, you know? But that was the beginning of the new era of Big Man that, you know, what Keith Lee, funny enough, we were just talking about him, was doing on the indies already with Dominik Dijakovic, right? And having those insane Big Man matches, to what Damian Priest was doing when he was Punishment Martinez in Ring of Honor. You know, so all these big guys to now here we are with Bobby Lashley, one of the OGs of it all, and Toa Leona, who, I don't know about you, that was weird in this match, but once you see him start get going, you're like, this guy might be able to work as a singles. Because at first I just was like, Toa, instead of the, out of the three in that group, he's the last one I think would be a singles guy, just personally. So, I don't know. I thought he looked good in the opportunity.
Well, we say
though.
That, but before, I don't, you know, we remember, that's one of the most infamous things about Bishop and Toa as a tag team. They were both singles guys, and they were just both wrestling separately on Dark. And I remember we both jokingly said, man, they'd make a good tag team because they tagged up randomly on one of the random-ass Dark tag matches where you get put with another random singles guy who's also trying to win matches. And we were like, actually, hold on, they might have something here with this team. And then they just kept it together because they were smart, you know? And, like, you know, so... But Toa was obviously a singles wrestler before. We just never really got to see it because we only ever saw him for a brief period on Dark wrestling singles. And then, you know, this tag team has just been such a demonstrable success since then. There's been no reason to ever split them apart, you know? So, like, but, like, yeah, I mean, I was really impressed with them in this match as well. And let me see. Was there something else I wanted to note here? There was something else. Just, like, the high vibes. I don't know how I feel about Toa submitting here. I mean, they are going into a trios match.
Yeah.
He is probably the weakest singles wrestler of the three, like you said, so at least in canon. So, like, maybe it's
fine. And Bobby Lashley's a, you know, multi-time
world
champion.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, you're right.
He's one of the biggest
possible future AW world champion. And we've talked about that. So, you know, like, yeah, I mean, hey, look, it's if you're going to lose, losing to Bobby Lashley is not the biggest deal in the world, right?
Not in the slightest, yep.
But, you know, hey, you know, I can still have, like, he could have beaten him, like, with a pin, but maybe that would have been worse. Who knows, you know? Maybe I would have been saying the same thing just the other way. Anything else you wanted to add about this, or good to move on?
Good to move on. Good stuff.
Cool. Next segment we're going to talk about, I think, for a few minutes, so it's probably a good thing. All right, we had the final confrontation, Charlie, the final showdown, the face-to-face between CNC and FTR, and this is the last time they're seeing each other before the pay-per-view, and I just got to say... I was playing FC25 I was playing college football, CF25, my bad. I was playing college football 25, which I know the new one's out, but I'm broke, so fuck off. Anyway, but you know, so I'm playing last year's college football game, right? And I stopped. I was like in the middle of like, I think my team was like 9-2 or something. I was like, nah, I gotta fucking pay attention here. So, because I saw what was happening. So, Cope comes down to the ring. They cut the music off. And let me tell you, Charlie, London, Ontario singing to Adam Copeland is maybe one of the most aura-filled things I've ever seen in my life. And it gets me... I just got chills thinking about it. And I got so chills good. Thinking about what it's going to be like in fucking Toronto. Oh, my God, dude.
I know they're not going to do it, but I would have mentioned this during our predictions anyways. I'd put this match in the main event.
You might have to. It might be.
I genuinely would just put
this might be match of the year, guys. It might straight up be.
I'd tell Hangman what's up. Apologize to him if you want, but I just
actually I'd be like, Hangman, do you want to open the show? Because we're gonna end the show with this, and we don't want you to have to. We don't want you to leave them in a bad spot to follow you, and vice versa. You know, like so. I know people hate that shit, but I love when the world title opens the show because it makes the show feel so fucking exciting. You know, like. For some people, it means the show ends on a wet fart, which I don't understand why. But to me, I'm of the opinion that the world title should main event, barring there being a bigger match on the show that deserves it. And I'll give you an example. If Mercedes Moné and Athena were facing Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter, that might need to main event a show over a world title match, you know? Because that's such a big fucking match. Well, you know?
What they've done before is they'll just put the world title on the match before, like with
co-main
Sting
event.
And Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks.
And that's probably what we'll do here. They'll just say, oh, it's the co-main event. We're going to put this on last. Like last time we got away with it because it was a lights out match, right? So you have to put that on last, right? So, but I don't know. To be honest with you, can I just say as much as I can be a stickler about the world title thing sometimes, I actually don't fucking care as long as the show is good. Like if the show ends on the highest note possible, it doesn't matter what match it is. And some people will disagree with that and say there's a philosophy to booking that you should follow and so on and so forth. Can I be honest with you? This is going to piss some people off. The world titles are all fake anyway. So if we make the fake title go on earlier in the show, it makes no fucking difference for how real it is, you know? Like, and it makes it less important if we're going to say that. It's not that important to begin with in the grand scheme of things. So if it's as important in wrestling as it's going to be, it'll be more important if more cool people hold it. But like having it take place earlier in the show doesn't, you know what would make this title less important? I don't know. Fucking Serpentico won it this week on Dynamite. That probably would make you feel like, what the fuck? Like, you'd be like, why, what is this title? Like, what? Serpentico, you know?
Yeah.
Weed pop, but everyone else would be like, what the fuck? Serpentico, world champion. I never saw that coming, you know? But no, that's what we need. We need Serpentico to win a casino gauntlet match and then cash in immediately and win.
I think it's just sometimes you got to take advantage of the moment. And, you know, this kind of calls for it. But at the same time, Hangman just, you know, last pay-per-view didn't go on last. This would be a big opportunity for Kyle Fletcher to go on last. So, I mean, look, I see the reason for why they're not going to do it, but I think this is as special of a match as you kind of shoot for this scenario. And this whole promo segment kind of proved it, right?
Yes. There was one thing Cope said, because I'll say there's brilliant stuff from Dax and Cash here. Cash fucking cooked during his segment of this promo, but then gets interrupted by Adam Copeland. And then Adam Copeland says something to the effect of, you know, they're trying to blame him for their shit, which obviously he's not responsible for where they're at. But he then puts it on them for why they weren't the big stars that they should have been at every point in their career. And I think anyone that knows FTR's actual story will probably disagree. So I don't know, how do we feel about him saying it, like, essentially being like, yeah, you sucked, and that's why you weren't a star? Like,
took him a long time.
But it's not like that was their fault, per se. You know what I mean? Like, everyone knew how good they were. That's why it was such a big deal when they were shaving backs, right? Like, so, I don't know. Maybe it could have been worded better, is all I'm saying. You know, like, because it did feel like a little bit like, I mean, it's not really true, you know, like, not that everything in a promo has to be, but it felt like that was the kind of argument he was building in his, you know, promo was like, no, everything else worked for me. That just made me go, okay, is that really true though? Like, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a great promo. And it ended on a really fucking fun note where Christian was like, they made it really clear. If you attack Stokely, $500,000 fine. If you attack either Cash or Dax, $100,000 each. For fines. And Christian's just like, you know, $700,000 really isn't that much money to me. I'm rich. And they just beat the shit out of him. So, you know.
Now, did Dax break his nose here? Or was it the previous week?
Who fucking knows?
Either way, Dax has a broken nose. He said it's not going to stop him from the
pay. He's going to wrestle anyway. Yeah, can't breathe.
I believe
he's
posted
fucking
on Instagram. He said, yeah, it's not stopping me, buddy. But, yeah, so, but he did break his nose, and you could fucking tell. I was like, God damn, buddy. So, all right.
Yeah, no, 100%. Guy will be fine. Guy doesn't need air.
We had a Shoe write to us on Blue Sky. I wanted to mention this here. Kind of forgot to mention it during news. Joe Shoe wrote to us. He said, he's talking about the video package from last week, and that it had the music from Hockey Night in Canada on it. And it kind of reminded me, you know, Tony loves his fucking jingles, man.
I wonder if Shoe's Canadian then.
Could be a Canadian there, fella.
Are you one of the Canadians there, bud? Hey, a Manitoba man, hey?
It's known as the Manitoba fucking moose pocket to you there, shitbird.
The Manitoba moose pocket, yeah.
No, but Yeah, so that's cool. I thought that's a friendly touch. I'm sure the boys love that one, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm sure that was intentional. I bet
100%.
Cope and fucking Christian went, bro, what if we got them to put Hockey Night in Canada on our fucking promo? Or it's either that or Tony Khan did it without saying anything to them and they just heard it and they went, oh, fuck yeah. You know, either way, it's one of those two scenarios because Tony Khan is a fucking goat. The Young Bucks were backstage with Rene Paquette and a fellow Canadian. God, Canadians all over the show, man. Fuck, you know. But, I mean, AEW is very Canadian, I must say, you know. I mean, Mike Bailey, you know, fucking all these guys. It's Canadians, man. Anyway, but, yeah. I bet Lance Archer is Canadian secretly. There's no way that guy's from America. He doesn't look American. Anyway.
but, secret Canadian. Send it.
Secret Canadian, Lance Archer. But, yeah, no. Yeah, so the Young Bucks bribed her, basically, because... I mean, I don't know how I was supposed to take this. Did Nick lose all of his money or just half of the 250K? Because they said you lost half in the casino. Did he lose 250K, Charlie, or did he lose 125? What are we saying here?
I'm saying 250.
Yeah, he's broke, fucker. Yeah, here we go. So yeah, so they're running out of money because they've been bribing people, and you know they paid off production, I guess. So they, you know, get their entrance back. So shout out that, I guess.
It was nice seeing that. That was that Charlie guy that was always on the Sammy Guevara vlogs. So that was
Cool. He's been in the background of all their segments recently. I'm glad that they're actually giving. I mean, he must actually really genuinely work for AEW, obviously. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Like
it's like fun Cheesecake works there, you know.
But yeah, 100%. Like he works there and he does an actual job. But now that, you know, because he hasn't, obviously the vlog thing, you know, I know Sammy still does vlog. I don't know how big it is. I'm sure it's still big, but like, I don't know how, like, if it's like the same thing as it used to be since he's not on all the time anymore. Right. So, let me be clear, not in his viewership. I mean, like, I don't know if it's centered around AEW because he's mostly been working Ring of Honor. Right. I would assume it's mostly been a Ring of Honor vlog. Right. For the most part, with some AEW stuff mixed in there when he's at the show or whatever. But, they bribed her so that, you know, that she'd be nice to them again, I guess, because they've been dicks. So shout out Renee getting money, I guess. John Moxley medical bills might be covered. Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn took on the Young Bucks. This was to get into the ladder match. They tried to bribe the ref. They did ultimately win. I love the Gun Club, Charlie. I mean, this was fine. This match was good. It sucks that they're kind of in this tough spot right now where, like, this is where they're in matches to lose right now because they really – there's nothing to do with them because the whole group's not there. So, really, even two-thirds of the group would be enough to do something with them, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, like, yeah. I mean, there's a real scenario where the Guns are both healthy and they're probably getting into this match, right? Like, so – even with the Young Bucks involved.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at everyone in the qualifiers, and honestly, I think if they draw up just about anyone outside of the Young Bucks, they're the favorite to win. So
yeah, so they're probably winning in this tournament in most other decision scenarios, right?
And that's what I was going to say. I feel like that's protective booking because in that aspect, they know, and Tony knows, this doesn't hurt those guys in any way, losing to the Young Bucks.
Because the fucking greatest tag team in the fucking history of the company. Like,
yeah, I believe it's meant FDR, to be felt like that. Whereas if they were facing some of these other teams, we know for a fact they'd get in. And these are two guys searching for sanctuary right now, straight up. So
and sometimes you just get a bad draw in a tournament. That's just what happens, you know?
Yeah. So that's why I think sometimes, you know, it's that kind of thought process that has to go into this.
Imagine
right?
If we still had rankings and you had to like factor that into who gets seeding in tournaments. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Ooh. That'd be nuts.
If only rankings actually ever mattered. solid stuff. But, you know, the Young Bucks leapfrog on into the ladder match. So, you know, Young Bucks ladder match. I mean,
come on, get out of here. It's going to be great.
There was a video package for the tailgate brawl of death. Solid stuff there. You know, the women looking like absolute devils, you know. I don't know how I feel about this fucking like weird fucking Shining Twins shit that that Sky Blue and what did they call them? Sisters of Sin? Is that what they called them? Like
maybe. Yeah, like, I didn't catch it. I didn't write it down.
Bro. I love this, but fucking they're scaring me, bro. Like fucking Jesus, you know, like, oh, that shit's crazy. We talked about Moscato Rodada versus Beast Muertos. Timeless Tony Storm arrived to speak before the Fatal 4-Way And basically the thing I took from this promo was Charlie, there's a little bit of doubt starting to creep in. She's been champion for 6-7 months now. She has been waiting for someone to step up and take the championship off of her. And basically this is her putting her chips down on the table saying, yeah, who's gonna do it, you know? Jamie Hayter arrives, says, I'm not really a fan of the spotlight, but you've been ducking me for a while, Tony, and you know it. Basically calls her out for not facing her this whole time, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought that she came across really well there. Chris Statlander also arrived and saying that she's been getting ducked for 4 years. He's like, you think you've been getting ducked, lady? I've been getting ducked my entire career here, you know? Yeah. So there's that. And then Tekla arrives, you know, just to add a little bit more flavor because she's coming out for her match. But she's also basically like, yeah, fuck all of you, you know? I'm the goddamn goat, you know? So good stuff here. I mean, anything you wanted to add about that? I thought this was pretty solid, you know? Like,
yeah, it was solid. But there's something that you kind of just completely put my mind onto when you started this.
Okay.
Tony's holding this. She's felt like she's had the belt for a while. And ultimately, I feel pretty comfortable saying this. I do think it was a missed attempt now not to put it on Athena. It's been 4 weeks, 3 weeks. We haven't seen Athena once, dude, right?
The last two, you either or of them could have won it and probably should have won it.
Yeah. We haven't seen Athena once. And I don't know. I think it was a severely missed opportunity because.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I thought Mercedes was winning it and Athena was getting the shot then. You know what I mean? And then maybe she beats Mercedes and that's Mercedes' first loss. And then Mercedes has to like then just go back to, you know, TBS, make the TBS championship the most important thing. You know what I mean? Like, and then.
Because that's
I thought that ruined itself. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
And then maybe Jamie Hayter comes in to clean up Athena. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like.
Yeah, that's. We're just in a weird spot now where, you know, because that is true. Tony's held it for so long.
That path was so clear in my head the last like 5 months. You know what I mean? I was like, yep, we're going to go to Mercedes. Mercedes get that shot. She's going to win that title. Everything's going to feel right in the world. She'll hold it for a few months. Athena will come back. They'll fucking fight. Athena will win. And then the fucking world's end. We will get Athena fucking having a short title reign, going back and becoming the go-to Ring of Honor again. And we will have fucking Jamie Hayter on top again. And that was my headcanon, or my headcanon. That was the way it was going to work in my head. And it feels like it would have worked really well, especially if we were going into this show. It would probably be the Mercedes versus Athena match, right? So, like...
Because on paper, if we're looking at it right here, right? Jamie, Stat, and Tekla. I just don't feel like they've built it up for any of them. Again, the Jamie Hayter thing, we can go back to the case that was made last week of, you know, the Randy Orton comparison, where you can just put her there whenever, right? Totally believable, yada yada. But she just returned, and it feels like you could have done it with Megan Bain if you really just wanted to be like, this is the new star, right? Could have done it with Mercedes, been like, this is the actual greatest of all time, respect her. And then it's like, well, we have another opportunity to do it with Athena, who has completely reinvented her entire career. She could instantly walk in as someone who hasn't been featured on AEW to being the top dog in AEW, and everyone would buy it and believe it. So now we have this match where I don't really care who the fuck wins it, and I don't care if she loses it. So I don't know. Are we going to be that jazzed if Statlander finally wins this title right now compared to the last three?
We'll be happy for her. The match will have to be, and this is the thing that sucks now for this match. The match has to be an absolute barn burner, and not just like a regular fatal four-way that's good. It has to be one of the best matches on this show.
I just, yeah.
For the result to feel like it matters, like, right?
I don't see it being better than Tony versus Mercedes or Tony versus Athena. I just don't see it. One-on-one matches always hit better, so it has that to compete with. Already, it's got to compete with that, because it always feels like more stakes in a one-on-one for some reason. In terms of a singles match, way different story for tag matches, but this is not a tag. It's a four-view, you know, singles. So, I don't know. You really kind of jolted my memory with that here, and I was just thinking that, too. I'm like, because in a way, how this has been booked, right, especially with this segment, we've already talked about the next one, so because this is really our only our women's segment for the go home show, if you will. It feels, does it feel like to you, Tekla's been booked the strongest here, so that's why her holding the title, yada, 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 feels like, so if we're going heavy-handed, Tekla's not winning, but they've booked her that, you know, to look strong going into the pre-match, so then you're left with the three. Are we going to have the Death Riders be the reason Statlander wins?
I really hope not, because, like, I feel like that's not the way Stat should win her first world title in AEW. Like, but, like...
But if we get this new generation of Death Riders where Wheeler Yuta helps her win...
Yeah.
You know, that sets that up. Are we just going to be like,
I love the idea,
you know,
of Wheeler counter-scheming against Jon Moxley right now, bringing in Daniel, and he's going to bring in fucking Stat. Like, they're scheming to become the new, you know, like, he's trying to become the new head of the, of the throne, if you will. Like,
yeah. When Wheeler puts the plastic bag over Moxley when he takes the throne, it's going to hit like fucking, I can't imagine how great that's going to hit. But, or is it going to be Jamie's time and it's like, well, we fucked around. No,
I'm banking on being Jamie at this point, man. Because when we get the predictions, that's probably what I'm going to say.
With Jamie Hayter, I think the exact mindset would be, right? We fucked around a little bit too much. She got hurt. Let's not miss this opportunity again. So we're going
to be the second time we've put her in a world title match and not put it on her. Sorry, an opportunity to get a world title match and not put it on her. Because remember, she lost in the tournament to get a world title shot. And we all thought, well, she probably loses here because it just isn't the right time. You know what I mean? Like, and then.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I think it had more to do with who her opponent was in that tournament, actually, more than anything, to be honest. It was just bad timing for her. If someone was on a rise, maybe, or something like that.
I got something for you.
Okay.
Jamie Hayter's teetering on the role of either being Randy Orton or being Dolph Ziggler, where she fights all the new people and that's it.
Oh, look, I did make a similar. I mean, look, so, I won't disagree. Look, so I might be a pull the trigger
type. She's teetering
moment.
That role right now. What are we going to do with her? Is she just going to be the new Brit that fights all the new people? The new Brit Baker, I mean, not British person. Let me clarify. But, is she going to be that, where that kind of became Britt Baker's role in this company? The Dolph Ziggler role, if you will. Because that, I mean, anyone that watched WWE for that 10 years, I mean, that was Dolph Ziggler's role. Congrats. You're fighting the new guy. Dolph puts you over because that's what he did best, right?
The gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper. Could have been a world champion. Could have been this, that. He got it like twice, right? And then that was it. Moved on. Jamie, could this be her scenario? So,
I mean, if you count NXT, I guess maybe three times.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with this exact program. I don't know, man. Do you have any other thoughts on this? I mean,
so weird because, like,
before we get into our predictions with that,
Dolph,
I guess,
was
really
in that role when he won his second world title, right? Jamie's already a 2-time champion, isn't she? Like, you know,
no,
like,
just the one she had to relinquish.
Oh, really?
It.
Oh, that's right. She never won it back. And we always assumed she would right away, but the injury was really long. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, no, we kind of need now. This might be a hot fix the title type situation, you know, like, honestly, like, just put it on her. You might have no choice, you know, it's either that or what do you do?
It just feels like we skipped too many steps, though.
Well, 100%. We should have built this up like it was one of the biggest deals ever, but we spent that on the other two feuds and we didn't do anything with it. So
yeah, she should have been the one to either take it off Mariah if we were going to do this, or been the one to beat Mercedes. Like,
I don't think she was physically available when Mariah was still champion.
No, she was. She was. She returned it all in last year. She's been available for a long time and then got re-injured for what, 4 months? 3 months?
Okay, that was what it was. Okay, so, yeah, that's what. Yeah, no, I the timing of that injury
back,
just fucked it all up. That might have been what it was. She might have been, honestly, the way it was looking, she probably was going to win it then, dude. And then it's just the injury happened. So, you know,
yeah, it's an interesting spot, for sure. I guess we just got to wait and see. Because
it'll be one of my biggest regrets as a person that does this show if we never see the full what we could see from Jamie Hayter as world champion. Because just the taste we got was so incredible, like. We haven't really ever been able to go back there, and I just want us to get there because what she was doing was so good. But I'm starting to worry that if we don't do it now or in the next couple of times that she has an opportunity, that it just may not happen and she may end up leaving the company. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to revert my statement a little bit because I said I wouldn't really care if she lost it here, because that's not entirely true. But I do want to say this: I wouldn't be mad if Jamie won it or anything like that. That's who I would root for to win, because the same thing you're just saying, right?
You know who would be the coolest to win this? I know we're saying she has no chance, but if Tekla wins this world title, it completely skyrockets her career. And I think that would be insane. Like, I don't know what you would do with it, but it'd be crazy to see what the Triangle of Madness would do with the world title.
Yeah, she's got the group to back her up. Again, I have a hard time seeing that one right now with this match, just because of the decisions lately by, because again, I think Megan, Mercedes, and Athena were worlds better contenders than and booked to go into the title than Tekla is. Tekla feels very by the numbers booking and holding the title, this, that, you know, it feels very, you know, they're booking her strong beforehand because she's taking the L, Deonna Purrazzo-esque, if you will. So we've seen this a lot. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting with Tekla, if we're just picking up on trends. But with Jamie, yes, would it feel like we've skipped some steps? But at the same time, let's not fuck around anymore. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it, because...
Yeah, let's do math. Tony, been champion for 7 months, putting her on ice. She's not retaining, right? Tekla, too early, right? We're saying that demonstrably. Chris Statlander, we're talking about skipping steps with Jamie Hayter. You want to talk about the amount of skips you step with her? Talk about how many you would have to skip with Chris Statlander to get to this. Like, I mean, yes, she's been being built up as part of the Death Riders, but we've not had a solid confirmation at all from either side that she's a part of it. It's all just been teasing, and she doesn't seem to want it, at least in character right now. Maybe that's all just bullshit that she's playing to the crowd or whatever so that she can turn on us or whatever. But, like, I genuinely don't see her winning this because of that reason, because even if that's the reason, it feels cheap. And I feel like if you're going to do that, I feel like, I don't know, it just feels like a really fucking, to me, that's a pretty bad ending to this gigantically.
I can tell you though why Statlander wouldn't be, because they haven't taken her off TV at all, even since the Mercedes match where she went out there and had, you know, that 5-star-esque match a couple months ago. They've never taken her off TV. They've always had her featured. They always have her win. She's always doing something. So, but I know what you mean. Has she gone for the world title? God, I don't know if she's wrestled Tony yet. And Tony's been champion. Tony's basically
been
champion.
She hadn't had one in this promo, in the promo we talked about, in like 4 years, right? So it's like, I don't know.
So has she not had one since, what was it, Britt Baker at All Out or something like that?
It feels like she had a world title shot in there against Mariah. Am I tweaking? Like,
I don't know.
Unless they're just not acknowledging Mariah's history anymore, which
they
might not
be. No, they definitely are. They definitely are. Tony Storm mentioned it in a promo. The Renee thing. She sent her off. She said that Blake, I like her. So she even kind of, you know, played a little tongue in cheek with it. So,
yeah,
Statlander, she's always been relevant. So, and again, Statlander feels like an OG, even though she's technically not, but she's always had that for her. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Look,
Math points toward Jamie Hayter, but just because the math points there doesn't mean that, I mean, like I said, Tekla could still win this. I honestly think that's the funniest, not the funniest, but like the funnest version, because like if you did, then where do you go? You know what I mean? Then you have to really work your ass off to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, and Tony Khan went back
like,
into
hey,
a corner.
Kid,
does do
let's see what
cool
you
stuff.
Can do. You know? Because
they really like her, obviously, you know? Yeah. Not many people this early in their time will get, I mean, how long has she been on AEW TV for? Like a couple of months at least, like, and she's in a world title match. I mean, that doesn't happen.
May 28th, she made her debut attacking Jamie Hayter. So Tekla's always been featured prominently.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I mean, hey, look, man, you never know. You just never
you
know.
You never know. Right, yeah, that's why it's fun to talk that out, I guess. Right.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And we'll talk about it more when we do the actual prediction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, some new vibes going into that. So
yeah. So let's do, yeah. I mean, do you want me to just blitz through the rest of this since there's not that much left? I mean, you know, yeah, so Top Flight, we're backstage discussing the match later in the night. Hangman gave him some advice and a seal of approval, basically. So shout out Hangman, still being friends with, oh, Jesus, I can't think of his
Dante.
Name. Dante, yes, he obviously gave him a world title shot, but Chris Daniels. Anyway.
Yeah.
Him still being boys, you know, so obviously that makes sense. They're still homies, you know. Luchasaurus and Kip Sabian, another team that just seems to never be in the right spot, man, you know? Whatever, you know, like... and they took on Jet Speed. Fun athletic match. Happy to see Killswitch back, man. Every time I see him on my screen, I'm like, yeah, they didn't get him. We got him back. He's ours. Anyway, shout out Luchasaurus. But, I mean, look, I'm happy to see Jet Speed be on top right now. They kind of just have, like, I'm going to call it rocket strapper energy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, I feel like they're not far off a world tag team title run. Don't you agree? Like, I feel like they're there.
Oh, it's
they're
definitely just swerving our glory vibes.
Yeah, I think they're going to be world champions at the beginning of next year. I wouldn't be, not like going into, but like, I think they could be the first team to win it next year. I would not be surprised. Because they're very, very hot right now and everything they do is good. And they're just really, really good. Any thoughts? I just really want to run through, you know, because I can just talk. I will just yap and get through this.
I agree with the point of Kip and Killswitch. It feels like they're never on, you know, that they had no chance of winning, which is why I bring up the Bang Bang Gang thing here. I think Bang Bang Gang versus those guys, everyone would think Bang Bang's winning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hence why putting them against the Young Bucks. But I thought it was fine. You know, Mike Bailey. Look, we can start talking about this now. Probably front runner right now for Wrestler of the Year. I mean,
I was about to say, I think he's Wrestler of the Year, buddy.
I think he's front runner right now. So.
It's hard to match his fucking energy. Match to match ever since. I mean, what? They put him against, what was it, Okada and fucking Kenny in the first, like, month? Like, or 2 months?
So he's
like,
had a really great 7 months.
Had two of their best matches of the year for each of them. You know what I mean? Like, or one of their best matches of the year for each of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think Speedball is doing the goddamn thing right now.
I think he won of the four big signings. I think he won, I'll be honest. You know, I mean, he's the winner, I think, you know?
Because we just got to see, I mean, Hangman is probably the only one that can really keep up with him right now. But that's the thing. There's 3 more months. We can always be shocked. Remember last year with Ricochet, the C2 might have a really big impact because we have a lot of guys, you know, pushing their heads up, if you will, above water to kind of be that Wrestler of the Year this year. That C2 with those week in and week out fucking matches could be the one that pushes it over the edge.
That Okada could sneakily have a run in that tournament where he just steals it from everybody else because he just has like fucking, what would it be, like 4 insane matches in a row in that tournament or something like that. You know, like,
absolutely,
he could do it. it could happen. All right.
Because I think Will Ospreay is safe to say is out.
Yeah, no,
I don't think anyone's going to pick Ospreay for Wrestler of the Year anymore. So
he's just done for the rest of the year.
He's going to miss these really last good 3 months.
Yeah, his year was really good. It's just he needed to have the rest of the year to be able to really cement that, and he's just not going to have that time, even if he comes back this year somehow. So shout out Speedball. Big Bill still thinks that Eddie Kingston is a bitch, basically. So, yeah. So we're still not seeing Eddie until the Pape. I like that decision. Darby Allin sat down with Bryan Danielson, you know, first of all, asked him why he climbed Mount Everest. And he's just like, I mean, I gave people my word. Plus, not many people can say they did that. You can't go in a helicopter and jump out of it that high and have the same experience. It's not the same thing. You got to go climb a mountain. So I did. And fucking just love that from him. He asked for Bryan's word that he would not get involved in the match at All Out between him and Jon Moxley in the coffin match. And Bryan also wanted him to promise him something as well. Any thoughts on what that could be, Charlie? I have no fucking clue personally, you know?
No guess on that, but I really liked how real Darby felt in this.
Could it be that he doesn't want him to kill Moxley, maybe? Like, he doesn't want him to actually kill him? Like, maybe that's what he said? Like, no actual murder, you know?
Or it could be like, dude, do what you gotta do, but...
Yeah, no.
You gotta win this match.
That's true, actually, yeah. Maybe
like, Darby, you need to win this match. This is the most important match of your career.
You can't let the moment get too big for
if
you.
We're
you
hitting, if you're hitting that next level as a wrestler,
yeah,
you got to win this match.
That's true. That's fair, you know? That's fair. It could be what he said. Riho took on Robin Renegade, and I'm going to toss it to you, buddy. You were really excited about this one. I think everything you want to happen is happening here, buddy.
I hope so. Yeah, first off, nice seeing Riho back in some singles action, of course, right? She's always kind of, she's just a ball of fun, if you will. And I love these Renegade twins. And yeah, look, the Riho had a really good Snapdragon, hit the crucifix bomb for the victory. Mercedes kind of started showing her face a little bit from the announce table. And Robin attacks her, which set up Mercedes to, you know, boink her down, backstab her.
Chaz Pastradamus? Because here's the reason. There's 3 factors that made me think you might have Pastradamus this, and not just now, but like 8 months ago when you first suggested this or whatever it was, maybe even longer. Why I think this is significant. We've never seen either of the Renegades show up in gear that this Renegade was wearing that was this clean looking. This looks like the kind of gear that you would have if you could suddenly afford to actually buy good gear, you know?
This looks like the gear you'd get if you were running with the GOAT.
Yes. Yes. It looks like actual wrestling gear that you would want to be like in the background of shots of people wearing, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, not that their gear was ever bad before. It was a certain look, but it obviously was a certain thing they were going for. If they're changing it up for what they're about to do with her, it would make complete sense. Okay, she also did look pretty good here, which they don't usually let the Renegades look that good. So, you know, not that they usually look good, but like they don't usually get that much, right? Anyway, so, and the significant thing, Charlie, Mercedes, unprompted, was rooting for this chick on commentary. You might just say, well, it's the person facing the person she's facing. Who cares? You know, you can still not give a shit about them if you're Mercedes, because why the fuck would she care about some random wrestler, right? So my head canon is she paid this girl off and she said, if you win this, I'll give you like $1 billion or something, but if you don't, you know, I'll just take you under my wing because I need backup or whatever. So I think that's what happened here. Now, I could be just fucking reading too much into this and none of this is true, but I'm just saying it'd be cool if you were right, because this would be really awesome. And I think the two of them would be really good in the role.
And I love when people get opportunities to make themselves something, and for their career, for their lives, being paired up with Mercedes, who is undoubtedly one of the biggest women stars in wrestling, undoubtedly one of the biggest stars in wrestling, period. Being paired up with her could do so much for them. Like, I just think that's such an opportunity, and, you know, it'd be awesome, right? It'd just be fun to root for. So,
and even if it's like, you know, there are things that they do in AEW for a few weeks and they realize it's not working and they toss the group to the, you know, to the wolves, and they just, if that Mercedes happens, it happens, but give him the chance. You know what I mean? Like,
remember, Mercedes had Camille. Where's Camille? She's not injured. Toss to the wolves, right? So
it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I think Camille kind of got Megan Bained a little bit. That was a little unfortunate, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't know what happened with Camille.
No, I genuinely think, and I'm not saying anything about Camille, I think Camille's great. Maybe she's hurt. I have no idea. Maybe she's busy. No idea. But I will tell you this. Megan Bain is a big presence. So, you know, yeah.
They didn't even bring Camille out for all the Queen of the Ring stuff, and she was in the movie, so.
Yeah, that's pretty tough, right?
Might be just, yeah.
Maybe she's taking on an acting career, who knows, you know? But yeah, so, yeah, there's like just really solid stuff there, though. So yeah, I really hope you're right about that, because that would be fun.
Awesome.
Daniel Garcia and the Death Riders taking on the Ops video package. So solid stuff here, you know. Obviously, you know, we're gonna see Danny on the paper. On the paper, is this pre-show or main show? I don't even know.
Pre-show.
Still can't escape pre-show, even in the Death Riders. God fucking damn it. Whatever, you know. Top Flight and Hechicero. Top Flight took on Hechicero and Josh Alexander. Top Flight looking fucking phenomenal as always. So I think a lot of people would have guessed Top Flight would have won here, to be honest with you, given that they've been building up the Sky Flight team, Charlie, and I'm gonna take that as the significant thing to talk about here. Like, Don Callis family win, and I gotta be honest with you, we just talked about the being thrown to the wolf thing. Now, it does help the Hangman came in to save the day afterward. I think that does make me feel a little bit better about it, but it's not looking good for the Sky Flight team right now. Have they won anything besides the one tag match against the Don Callis family?
Yeah. Yeah, look, getting featured in the tournament's probably the best thing for them. But yeah, they're going to need to get some dubs here.
Cold feet on Dante in another ladder match, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to need to get some dubs, say the least.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be in another ladder match if I was Dante either, to be honest with you, after what happened last time. But, I mean, I don't think he's like that, though. He doesn't seem like he is, you know? He didn't seem to lose a step either somehow, even though he literally broke his ankle. Fucking absolute animal, you know? But also, like, 20-something, so, you know, a little easier to heal when you're that young. But, hey, you know? But, yeah, no, I mean, solid match here. I mean, I could not believe that Top Flight didn't win, though. I mean, were you shocked like that? I guess I thought they were winning in my head, I guess. I don't know, like, I think I predicted last week Don Callis family just because it seemed right at the time. But like when I thought about it more, I was like, I mean, Top Flight could probably benefit from being in this match. But yeah, I said tournament, I guess, is the important thing. All right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, unless you have anything else to add, I guess that's the end of the proper review.
Ended the review. Yeah, right. Nothing much there. I mean, yeah. But these tag matches were, it really just felt like they didn't matter. Maybe it's because they were shoved to the quote unquote collision aspect of the show. Whatever. But yeah, I mean, look, it got stakes and it got guys getting in matches. So if we're looking at the bare minimum, fine. And I'll give them the bare minimum because what the fuck else? Don't need to demand everything.
Great. I guess with that being said, Charlie, that'll take us into our prediction section of this, which this podcast is going to end up being right around the normal length of an episode, even though we only had one show to review. So I guess that just works out, twerks out, and dirks out, if you will. So, you know,
yeah,
dirks out for Harambe.
A little bit too.
Birds out for King Shark. Bird. Anyway, so yeah. Take us away, buddy.
All right, yeah, let's jump into the pre-show here first, where we have the 8-woman Tornado Tailgate Brawl Duke, Harley Cameron, Mina Shirakawa, Queen Aminata, and Willow Nightingale. Those are all long names. Holy crap. Megan Vane, Penelope Ford, and Triangle of Madness, a.k.a. Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Duke, what do you got in this one?
Honestly, Babyface I have no fucking heels. Idea because like this is like a plunder match and there's like 8 people in it. They all probably could use a win. So it's like, I don't know, fucking Willow's team, maybe. I don't know. She likes to win street fights occasionally. So fuck it. I don't know. I mean, is this going to be one of those things where there's other pre-show matches, but like they take like 5 minutes each and this one gets to go to the pre-show? I'm assuming so, right? Like, I don't think they're opening the pre-show with this, are they? Like,
I would guess they're closing the pre-show with it. Be my guess.
We'll see. The whole idea of the opening tailgate thing is pretty cool to me, though. So we'll see how that is. I assume we'll get some footage from that right before the match, maybe, or maybe not. I have fucking idea. Shout out AEW for putting on a little shindig before the for the show, though. I like that, you know. Shout out AEW, yeah. Making me into an event, you know. But yeah, no, I think I'll take the baby faces here. I guess.
Yeah, same. I got the baby faces. Willow's team, yeah. Daniel Garcia versus Katsuyori Shibata. I'm going to go Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The Ops, Samoa Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs versus the Workhorsemen, Anthony Henry and JD Drake. Who you got?
I mean, the Ops, right? Yeah.
Nah, Anthony Henry KOs fucking Samoa Joe 30 seconds in.
I'm so down.
I'm down. Nah, the Ops. All right. Well, I'm just going to go off the order we have here. So up first, it has Adam Copeland and Christian Cage versus FTR with Stokely in a tag team match. I'm going to go Adam Copeland and Christian.
Yeah, they kind of have to win here, right? To get their tag run off, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it feels pretty safe. Very, very excited for this match. Very excited.
Although if they don't win, it's kind of like if Tekla wins, it's like I'm kind of interested to see what they do if they don't, right? You know, like where does that take us? You know, like,
yeah. What's the angle there? Yeah, it would be interesting.
Yeah, but they're winning though, so.
Yeah, Hurt Syndicate versus Ricochet and GOA. We got.
I want to say Ricochet and GOA.
I can get down with that.
I don't know if they will win. Hurt Syndicate really haven't lost to a lot of people, so including, you know, the fucking Gates when they first, you know, became champions, they faced them pretty early. So in theory, I guess should be I'll say Hurt Syndicate here because it feels probably what they're gonna do because again, like the Hurt Syndicate don't really lose that much. So this may be the last tag feud we see the Hurt Syndicate in. They may just go singles after this, you know, like. So yeah, I guess I'll go Hurt Syndicate.
I'm going to go Ricochet and GOA. I think I could see them taking this win and going after the titles.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Number 6, so me. Mercedes Moné versus Riho for the AEW TBS Championship. I don't think you need to overthink this one too much. I'm going to take Mercedes here. Just feels like a pretty safe bet. But Riho is the first ever AEW Women's Champion, so not an easy competition there. Who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I have Mercedes as well. I mean, the Mercedes title reign has been so long at this point. I mean, we're really going to need to build it up if we're going to end it. Even if it's like, yeah, we really, you can't just like, I mean, as shocking as it would be, I don't know that it would be the best ending you could have to this reign, right? It would feel very sudden. So, yeah, I'm going to say she retains here. But I don't put it past Rio to possibly win this, you know? So, cause she does that sometimes, so, you know.
Yeah. Match number 7. Darby Allin versus Jon Moxley. Coffin match. Who do you got in this?
So we talk about matches sometimes. Like, there are a lot of matches in AEW that the result kind of doesn't matter. It would be good either way. And, like, it just all depends on what you do with it after. This is one of those few times where Darby Allin has to win this match. If Darby Allin does not win this match, what the fuck are we doing? Like,
yeah. What would the end game for... What? Playing the same card we were just talking about for Tekla and the others. What does it look like for Darby Allin if he loses this? What could that do to
the Darby heel run could be legendary. You know? Like, I think that's a thing that you could do. And I've also said it would be awesome if Darby did something so horrendous to Jon Moxley that they threw him in, like, quote-unquote jail, and then they had to do this Sting hallway scene to break him out. You know, like, I'm so down. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't think that's happening. I think Darby's winning, and I think everything's fine. But, you know, in an alternate timeline where Darby loses, maybe he becomes a heel and does some heinous shit.
He gets,
you know,
buried in this, and he gets buried alive, if you will, and just, like, starts rocking some, like, bloody-looking face paint. And a heel run is just fucking dismembering people. Like, dude, I'm in. Give it to me. No, I'm with you. I got Darby. He starts ripping off people's fingers using them as props.
Starts, yeah, using, like, he just starts chopping them off with fucking like pliers. Oh yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
Starts a finger necklace.
All right. Back to evens. Mark Briscoe versus MJF. Tables in tax match. Okay, this is kind of a hard one, actually. It's been a good feud. It's been a fun build.
Max coming off a loss. Mark Briscoe on a wave of momentum. Mark Briscoe probably needs this win. Max doesn't really need this win. Max probably shouldn't be losing 2 pay-per-view matches in a row. But Max is also Max.
There's a lot playing into it. God, this is a tough one. This is one of the harder ones, actually. I'm just going to say MJF. But I want to say that acknowledging the knowledge that we know of how badly he wanted this feud with Mark Briscoe, and that it would kind of make sense for Mark to get a really big win on pay-per-view against him to keep it going. I don't know, man. I'm taking MJF, I guess.
If Max's plan was always to get Mark more over, which he's obviously successfully very much so done, we talked about it over the last 6, however many months that it's been going on for, 3 or 4 months, whatever it is, that he feels like he belongs against somebody like Max, and that's super important, you know? And if the end game of that would be him winning. So I think I'm going to take Mark Briscoe here, man.
Yeah. I like it. Match number 9 of the night. Oh, this is a match we talked about the most today, I think. Timeless Tony Storm versus Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander, and Tekla. 4-way match for the AEW Women's World Championship.
Who do you got? Jamie Hayter.
Bop, 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 bop. Skibbity boppity bobbity boo.
Skibble bop, looking at you.
Even after everything we just talked about, I'm taking Tony.
Timeless. All right, who the fuck's beating her then, Charlie? You tell me.
I don't know. What do you want from me?
I want you to go back in time and make Athena the champion, damn it.
All right. Timeless. So I'm going to take Tony here. A singles match for the AEW World Championship here. Hangman Adam Page versus Kyle Fletcher. Where's your socks? I got Hangman retaining. How about you there,
I agree.
Buster? Yeah. Seems pretty easy. Would be a shock if Kyle won.
I'd be incredibly happy for Kyle.
Do you think Kyle will lose his TNT championship in this match?
That would be the dumbest way for him to lose it, wouldn't it? Like, Jesus.
Would he do it, though, if it meant winning the world title?
I mean, if we're saying that they're fucking rigging the rules so that he doesn't have, like, the ability to keep both championships if he cheats, aren't they going to just then give Hangman another match and then say if he cheats in this match, he loses the world title? Isn't that just what they do if they're smart? Like, I mean, really, you know?
You never know, man. Don Callis might have a contract with the fucking security in Canada.
Oh, shit.
You never know with this guy, all right?
Don Callis is this shady motherfucker.
He's the worm. He's the worm.
He literally is the worm.
Okada versus Takeshita versus Mascara Dorada. Three-way match for the AEW Unified title. Who do you got? Yeah.
Okada retains.
Mascara Dorada. Easiest match of the night.
Come on.
Nah, Okada retains. Fuck out of here. Who am I kidding? I'm not cool enough to pick Dorada.
Yeah.
I think I'm that cool.
Yeah, you're not that guy, pal.
Yeah. I'm the kind of guy that drinks a strawberry banana shake. I don't pick Mascara Dorada. I'm not that fucking cool.
Yeah, you're not.
Big Bill versus Eddie Kingston.
I mean, this is actually really fucking weird because Big Bill probably should win this match, but he's not.
Yeah, hell no. If Eddie actually shows up, Eddie's got to win.
And that's what I'm saying. But Big Bill, it's awkward as fuck to put Big Bill when he's supposed to be getting built up in this spot against a guy like Eddie. Like, because, like, Eddie's not losing his return match. Not because Eddie's an asshole. Don't have Eddie lose that. Like,
yep, that's fine. I think that shows where Big Bill's at, though. Big Bill's built himself up enough to get these pay-per-view singles matches, and he's earned it. Look, in the land of the fucking, you know, sharks, that is AEW singles division. Big Bill's carved away to get a pay-per-view singles match. A credit to him, a credit to his talent. But Eddie's winning.
Yeah.
Last match of the night for you. Brodito versus the Young Bucks versus Jet Speed versus the Don Callis family. Ladder match. Who you got?
I mean, I want to say Brodito retain, right? But this is the kind of match where anything can happen. So. Would Brodito be a good team for a short but memorable title reign? Is it memorable enough already? Or do we need to... I guess that's the question. Do we need to give them more time to make this title reign significantly? Or is this an okay title reign to just punt in favor of a team that you really want to strap it onto right now?
Yeah. It's hard. There's a lot of things to weigh for that.
Because, like... At the end of the day, Jet Speed are the hottest team in the tag division right now, right? So, is this a moment where we're going to be like swerving our glory, where we're going to regret not putting it on them in this match in 2 weeks, you know?
Who do you want facing Edge and Christian?
It's true. Do you want it to be Brodito, who would be put on a great match against them? Don't get it twisted. I guess it comes down to who do you want to take it off of, too, because either team, maybe that's a call for maybe the Bucks, maybe winning this match, potentially, is that you don't want to... Stat padding. Also, you can have the Bucks beat Brodito, and I don't know that I'd want that to be Cope and Christian being the ones to end that title reign.
Cope and Christian probably won't go for this title till World's End. Yeah. So there's some fucking time here. Which, that also makes the case for FTR to win, just because people might have been like, you didn't even factor that in when we were predicting. I just feel pretty strongly Cope and Cage are going to win this first one in Toronto.
Yeah.
But I think it's not going to be the only match.
No, not at all. No. Yeah, no, we're going to get more than one match with these two teams for sure.
But
yeah.
I don't think they're going for the title at WrestleDream, to say the least. Do
no.
you?
No, and so you could definitely bop this title around a little bit before that if you wanted to. So, it's weird. It's harder for me to picture Brodito retaining right now.
Well, they feel like the perfect candidates for four-week title reign. I mean, I hate to say it. This would be on par with the Young Bucks second reign and Sting and Darby Allin. It kind of feels like perfect contenders for that.
You know, they might be losing the title here. You know, I might say Jet Speed then. I might just slap it on the guys that you know are going to fucking take it and run with it, right? You did it with Brodito and it really worked.
Yeah, because as of right now, I don't have any titles retaining or getting changed. It just feels like the one that would happen.
I Jet Speed. I have, if Mike Bailey wins the World Tag Team titles in this match, it's over. He's wrestler of the year. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like,
it'd be awesome. Again, I don't want to overlook Don Callis' family either. Hechicero, CMLL, right? Josh Alexander.
And Alexander is right in there in contention, too. He's
Don Callis' family
off.
Is capturing gold faster than anyone in this company. Potentially about to have the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in the group. You have the Unified title. You have the TNT title. I mean, I don't want to rule that out, because that would make a lot of sense for these two guys to get their names in the record books. So, yeah. I'm going to go to the Young Bucks. I don't know why. I just feel the Young Bucks winning this match. And I was not really thinking that beforehand. But I do think everyone's a contender. So this is a really good match on paper. Very excited for that one.
All right, who's dying? Is it Brody King?
Oh, Brody's going to take some bumps.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. So, all right. That'll be it for us, everyone. Thank you for checking out this edition of Eat Sleep Elite.
Yes.
Our next show will be the All Out review. So keep an eye out for that one day.
Bye. God only knows when that'll be posted.
And yes, enjoy the show. Enjoy All Out. Come on, guys. Lock in. It's going to be fun.
It's your balls out for All Out.
Cope and Cage, baby. And we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Tom Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Betrayal.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.